Good morning, Zion.
Good morning.
Alleluia, he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Good job. So we've got a lot of announcements today. I encourage everyone to look at them for yourself in case I miss something. There's one that didn't make it in the bulletin, and that is that the flowers on the altar today are in memory of Joseph Schroeder, whose earthly birthday would have been today. So, a moment of appreciation for the life of Joseph Schroeder. And then from the yellow sheet, we have the butterfly release today. This is a big deal for the kids, and I think for Diane. They've been growing some butterflies down in the children's room, and we're gonna take them out and release them into the wild this morning after the worship. And if you have lily or other flower containers, you can give those to Diane, and she will use them for the orphan grain train thrift sale to raise money. The Chosen Bible study continues on Wednesday at 6:30. We're up to season 4, episode 5. And even if you haven't come before, you'd be welcome to come join us. We have a great time at those. The Sunday school offering for this month is for helping Appalachian rural people. And they've had a rough go of it this year with just a lot of flooding and bad weather. People Enjoying People will meet on Thursday the 16th at 11:30. I haven't been to one of those, but I bet they're a lot of fun, so you should come. Litter Roundup on Saturday at 9 a.m. And dress warm, wear old clothing. It does get messy, what with it being litter cleanup after all. LWML is on Saturday. I'm guessing if you are interested in going to that, you already know. So that's in here. And then flipping it over, quarterly voters meeting in 2 Sundays. And then the call day for the seminary is on the 29th at 7 p.m. I think there's a small contingent that are planning on going, but I also know that the chapel gets real crowded for those, so the better way to do it is to watch it online. And that's in the bulletin is information how to do that. And then our last thing is the Orphan Grain Train is collecting brooms, mops, shovels, rakes, trash cans and bags, buckets and cleaning supplies, etc. And they're collecting here in the basement to go to the warehouse in Napoleon. And if you don't have stuff to bring, you can also pray for the victims affected by the recent tornadoes and flooding and the volunteers that are helping to clean that up. So lots of ways to contribute to that. And with that, let us begin with our opening hymn.
Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia. Christians hasten on their way, alleluia. Offer praise with love replete,
wise as you're able as we make our beginning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Alleluia. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death has no longer has dominion over him.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Alleluia. Alleluia. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever.
On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate and I will declare your greatness.
Directed by the Lord and confident of his steadfast love and mercy, let us confess our sins. Merciful Lord, Almighty Father, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. Upon this, your confession, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, has forgiven you all your sins. God strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting.
Amen.
He who began this good work within you will bring it to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may, by your grace, confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 5. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fall. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise out of respect for the gospel. And this is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Now we confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message. Well, we've got a lot of children this morning. What did you guys pick up from the gospel reading that I just read, the last one that I read? Go ahead.
Jesus appeared
that's a good thing to see, yeah. So the doors were locked, and he just appeared in their midst. Do we know how he did it?
No.
Yeah, we don't know exactly, but we know that he did it that way. He could do it that way because he's God. He's both a man and he's God. And just like God can be anywhere he wants to, everywhere at once, Jesus can be anywhere he wants to, everywhere all at once. Now, when he appeared to them, what did he do? Did you catch that? Peace be with you. What does peace be with you mean? Don't freak out. That's a good way to say it. What does it mean?
Don't worry.
Don't worry. It means, guys, you're not in trouble. Yeah, you don't need to be scared. And then what did he do after that? Okay, Barrett. Oh, you're jumping ahead in our story. He first showed them his hands and his side, right? Now, why do you suppose he showed them that?
So Thomas could believe.
Well, it was for all of them to believe that he was the same guy that they knew got killed just a couple days before. And what's important about them knowing that he was killed a couple days before?
Because he has risen.
Exactly right. So that is, well, it's a good guess, yeah. You're exactly right. He was risen, and by him rising, it shows us what's going to happen to us if we believe in him. When we get old, or if we get in an accident, we're going to die.
And you get weaker.
You get weaker as you get old, yeah. And then you get weak again. And so like, you guys are young, so you probably have grandparents that are still alive. But all of my grandparents are dead.
Because we have a great-great-grandma that's alive because she's
92. 92, yeah. But is she going to be around in another 92 years?
No.
Probably not, yeah. So she's going to die. It's not likely. Pretty much nobody makes it that old. It just doesn't happen. I think that's a little high. I think he lived to be 800 something, but pretty close. Yeah. People used to live longer, but now live shorter. Yeah. It's a lot of time for sinning, isn't it? Yeah. So let's bring this back together for a second. Just like Jesus died, not on a cross, but just like, you know, like he went from being alive to not alive, that's going to happen to everybody. But Jesus came back to life to show us what's going to happen to us after we die. So anyways, that's the whole point of why he showed himself to the disciples, was to give them the confidence to believe that they're going to live again just like he lived again. And also for us to have that same confidence. You know what confidence is? To believe? Yeah? That's right. It's a real belief. Yep. Yeah, so we should all believe that we're going to get to come back to life even after we die.
The afterlife is in heaven.
Well, we go to heaven when we die, but only to wait around so that when God remakes the earth that we can have a new life there. All right, so let's real quick pray for your aunt's? Your mom's cousin's babies, okay? Heavenly Father, please watch over their mom's cousin's babies, with one in the hospital having breathing troubles. Please bring comfort to the family, and if it be your will, preserve the child to health. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you, children. We now continue with the hymn of the day, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
All of
grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're in the season of Easter, so I think I'm obligated to start out by saying once again, Alleluia, he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the past couple of weeks, we've remembered Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Maundy Thursday, when Jesus celebrated the Passover and gave us the Lord's Supper. Good Friday, when they crucified our Lord. And it all built up to Easter Sunday, when he rose again. So where do we go from here? This morning, I'd like us to dig into John chapter 20, verses 21 to 23 from our gospel reading. It's a familiar passage, but I think this part is often glossed over in favor of Jesus' dialogue with Thomas. It's short, but packed with elements that are a little less familiar to us. I'll read it again. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." In three verses, we have the disciples are sent as the Father has sent me, Jesus breathing on the disciples, the disciples receiving the Holy Spirit, and the office of the keys, which we also call confession and absolution. Now, my goal this morning is to discover why it is that those four things are packed together into three verses like this. They don't seem at first glance like they're talking about the same thing. We note that this is basically the first thing that Jesus tells his disciples after his resurrection. So it must be important. I'm going to start with the second thing from the list, Jesus breathing on the disciples. And I think to understand it, we need a little background. You and I, each of us, were created with a body and a spirit, or a soul. The Bible uses soul and spirit, two different words, but they really mean the same thing. They come to us as different words because of the difficulty in translating from Hebrew to Greek and then on to English. So I'm going to use them interchangeably. Soul, spirit, same thing. We don't need to worry about the difference. Anyway, we all have a body and a spirit. We know what a body is. We can feel it. We can touch it. We can see it. But what's a spirit? Simplest version, it's a breath. A little bit of air or wind. At least that's what the word means. So when Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," the literal words were something like, "Receive the sacred breath." We don't usually think of spirit in this way. We usually think it's something more mysterious, like ghost or something like that. But this is what the word is in the Bible. It just means breath. And Jesus just breathed on them right before this, so that's clearly what he's talking about. Instead of just wondering what the spirit or breath is, I think the best thing to do is to do a quick survey in the Old Testament and kind of see how does this concept get used. And the first place I found is Genesis chapter 2, where it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." So Adam had a body formed out of dust. God blew into his nose, and it took Adam from being not living to living. That's the power of having a spirit or a soul. The next place I found is in 1 Kings chapter 4. It's part of a longer story. It's a really fun story. But there's this child that was sort of a gift, was exactly a gift from God. And the child complained of his head hurting. He's out in the field with his dad and he dies. His mother went and got Elisha and convinced him to come and help. And it says, then he went up, Elisha did, and lay on the child, putting his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And I'll skip a bit. The child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. So it doesn't say that Elisha breathed on the child, but put his mouth on his mouth. It sounds kind of like he's doing CPR. And then he sneezed 7 times in this violent expulsion of breath. We see breath all throughout this passage. The child went from not living to living. So the last one I found is Ezekiel 37. I think we had this just a month or two ago. It's the Valley of Dry Bones. God had Ezekiel prophesy to the bones and they got flesh put on them. And then God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Once again, when the breath is in someone, he's alive. Without breath, he's dead. Prior to the 1970s, the standard diagnostic test used in medicine to see if someone was alive was to hold a mirror up against their face. And if the mirror fogged up, that meant they still had breath. They were looking to see if the spirit was still in him or if the soul had departed the body. So Jesus, being the Son of God, could blow on them, giving them the Holy Breath, the Holy Spirit, and making them more alive than they were before. Well, in what way were they dead? We go back to Genesis chapter 3, when the promise was if they ate from the tree, they would surely die. They were dead in their spirit. And so now they're getting a new living spirit poured into them. Even though they had physical life, it's restoring their spirit. So that's what the blowing is. The next thing we have is Jesus telling them, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now we know this as the office of the keys. It's what we just did when you all confessed that we're all sinners, and then I didn't pronounce absolution, but I got as close as I can, not being an actual pastor. Absolution is not like a therapist telling someone, you need to forgive yourself. Absolution is being told that you are forgiven, and not just here, but in heaven also. In Matthew, Jesus told Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And this is where Jesus makes good on that promise, is in our reading this morning. So how do we connect Jesus blowing on his disciples to him giving them the power to forgive? I think for this, the easiest way is to take a little detour into baptism. According to Titus 3, in baptism, the Holy Spirit performs a washing of regeneration that leaves us free and clean of any spot or blemish of sin. It's the Holy Spirit's job to take our sins away. It's the Holy Spirit's job to bring forgiveness to sinners and sinners to forgiveness. And here we see Jesus giving the disciples the Holy Spirit so that they can give forgiveness to sinners with the full authority of heaven. Because we know that only God can forgive sins, we know that anytime we see forgiveness, the Holy Spirit is involved with that. So now I think we've pretty well connected the last three items from my list. If you don't remember my list, the last three were to Jesus breathing on the disciples receiving the Holy Spirit, and then the office of the keys. He gives them confession and absolution. So breathing is spirit, Jesus is God. So his breath, his spirit, he can give to whom he wants. Proceeds right out of him. And the purpose of it is to deliver forgiveness. The office of the keys are really just instructions for how to use that power that he had given him, how to use the Holy Spirit. So if you want to take advantage of the Holy Spirit and you want to exercise the Holy Spirit, you do it by forgiving people. This just leaves our first item, which was when Jesus sends the disciples, just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Now, I suppose I really should have been calling them apostles this whole time, not disciples. Our word apostle comes from the Greek apostello, which means I send or I dispatch on some mission or service. And that's exactly what Jesus does here. It's even the word he uses. So the beginning of Jesus' ministry was marked by his baptism. It's funny how baptism keeps coming up today. Do you remember what happened in Jesus' baptism? The heavens were torn open. The Holy Spirit came down like a dove, landed on Jesus and remained there. And then the voice of the Father comes out and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Once that's over, Jesus goes into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And immediately after that, he begins his ministry, preaching, healing, casting out demons. His mission, using my dictionary definition, I send dispatch on some mission. Jesus' mission was to bring salvation to the world. That salvation Jesus earned on the cross, but it's delivered to us in the word and in the sacraments. And that word and sacraments were given to us by whom? By the apostles and Paul. The word was inspired. It's another breathing word there, inspired. By the Holy Spirit, by the sacred breath. And back, it was inspired in the first century, but it's still being read and preached today, nearly 2,000 years later. And why was it given to us? Well, John said it at the very end of our reading. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The sacraments that Jesus gave to the apostles are worked by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we still see that every time a parent brings a child to be baptized, or every time you come up here and receive communion. That same sacred breath is still working, still building Christ's church in a hostile world. When Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you," he's marking the beginning of the apostles' ministry. He's equipping them to do the work that he's sending them out to do. He's passing on the Holy Spirit that came to him in his baptism so that they can carry out their part of the mission. And that same mission, it still continues today. Right here, just as the Father sent the Son and Jesus sent the apostles, we, his church, continue the mission week after week, year after year. In every baptism we perform, every Lord's Supper we consume, and every time that we receive or give forgiveness of sins. To be like Christ is to pass along the Holy Spirit to the next generation, so that they can carry on after we're gone. So we take the time to remember all this right after Easter for the same reason that Jesus taught it to his disciples right after Easter. On Good Friday, Jesus fulfilled the promise to forgive our sins. He made it real. He accomplished what the blood of bulls and goats could never do. He washed our souls clean of the sin that we could never remove by ourselves. On Easter morning, Jesus became the first fruit of the new resurrection, showing us our future, making that real for us. We don't need to worry about what's in our future. We don't need to worry about persecution. We really don't need to worry about health or even death, because he has shown us that even death, which would otherwise be our greatest fear in the world, is nothing more than a stepping stone to a brighter future. Today we celebrate Jesus handing his mission to his apostles and establishing his church, which still functions with the same purpose and under the same authority that he gave to those men nearly 2,000 years ago. It exists to deliver you the forgiveness of sins that Jesus earned on Good Friday, and to give us the life everlasting that he revealed to us on Easter. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Jesus, lift this rain is done.
Amen. We thank you for your gifts this morning. It's through these gifts that we're able to keep the ministry here going, to bring the gospel to the world. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gifts may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. And we're already risen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, like Thomas, we wrestle with faith amid doubts and fears. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that believing we may see, and seeing we may rejoice in your Son and the power of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, give courage to all pastors as they preach and teach the word, that all who hear may believe, and that believing they may live in righteousness and godliness until the day Christ returns as judge and Lord of all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give peace, Lord, to our homes and enliven them by Christ's resurrected life. Let the forgiveness of sins reign among husbands and wives, parents and children. Assure those who live alone that they too are your children, upheld by your right hand. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, you have added believers to the Lord Jesus in all times and places, from those receptive and hostile alike. Shepherd the nations and bring all peoples to embrace the gospel of the resurrected Christ. Curb wicked rulers and break their power, that all would be brought to the feet of Jesus in worship. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, as your Son's wounds brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence and comfort to the troubled in our midst, especially Don and Alice, Margaret, Bernetta, Gary, Deb, Francis, Bill, Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Norma, Ron, Vicky, Kyle, Marilyn, Renee, Michelle, Diana, Carolyn, Jordan, Tyler, and Reggie. Comfort those who weep with the blessed joy of Easter morning. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your Son suffered on our behalf to win salvation for us. Grant that we may have the privilege not only of believing in him, but also of suffering for his sake. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, give us all things good and beneficial to us and to our salvation, and keep us from all things harmful. Through Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine on us and be gracious to us. The Lord look on us with favor and give us peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for the closing hymn.
Once was dead.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Once more, Alleluia, He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now, go in joy and gladness and serve the Lord.